Blog Talk Radio.
To another episode of Temple of the Infinite. This is Frater Ralph, your host, and tonight our topic is going to be connecting with your inner teacher. And in the course of this broadcast, I am going to be loosely throwing some terminology around, which, you know, some spiritual purists are going to say, and properly so, refer to a great many things other than your inner teacher or spirit guide. And I would have to agree that, yes, some of these terms strictly used can refer to actually more than just your own spirit guide. But from my experience, as they are used in certain schools of thought, they can be used interchangeably and actually mean much the same thing, kind of depending on the level of understanding of the particular student and the way in which they utilize that knowledge. But the idea of having your own inner teacher is an idea that resonates with a great many different spiritual traditions and spiritual walks. Throughout the course of this broadcast, I'm going to be using examples from ceremonial magic, Wicca, paganism, and even AA. But first, I'm going to start off with a passage of scripture from Matthew 23, verses 8 through 10. And here Jesus is teaching his first disciples, "You are not to be called rabbi or teacher, for you have one teacher, and you are all students. And call no one on earth your father, for you have one father, the one in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, even the Christ." And I'm going to continue on. "The greatest among you will be your servant. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted." So here in a saying of Jesus preserved in the Gospel of Matthew, and I'm going to say this is a teaching out of what I call mystical Christianity or mysticism, Jesus clearly teaches his followers that they are to call no one on earth teacher or instructor or rabbi, for you have all of that within the realm of heaven. And, you know, that can be understood as the realm of heaven as in something external from you. It can also be interpreted, and I believe more properly so, as a realm that can be found and accessed within the individual seeker. It's within us, and it is also outside of us, within you and without you. A great song by the late George Harrison, but illustrates a remarkable truth that when we search for spiritual instruction and spiritual inspiration and guidance, in the beginning at least, many of us make the mistake of looking outside of us. You know, we go, we flock to teachers, we buy books, we go to seminars, we may go to one church and then drop out of that church and change churches, or go to a variety of different temples or ashrams or synagogues or, you know, what have you, and just be looking outside of us for that great teaching. Somebody who is going to lead me to the next stage in my spiritual evolution. You know, to want somebody who's going to take me on that path of enlightenment. And really, all along, the teacher can be found inside. Now, how do we connect with our inner teacher? And you can call it spirit guide, you can call it higher self. In AA, folks sometimes refer to this inner teacher as their higher power, their understanding of God, even though they don't always use that term God. It's higher power is the more open term that is used in many different groups. But yeah, how do we connect with this inner teacher? And as I mentioned before, there are different schools of thought which agree that you should connect with your inner teacher. In the there's a book I began reading. It is it's not a very easy read. You have to take your time with it, at least I do. It's called The Book of the Sacred Magic of Abramelin the Mage, translated by S.L. MacGregor Mathers. And in that book, the writer refers to the Holy Guardian Angel. And his take on how to connect, he is very involved in the process that he uses to connect with his Holy Guardian Angel or inner teacher. And that is to spend a period of at least 6 months in deep prayer, fasting, meditation, keeping oneself scrupulously pure, both on the outside and on the inside, and taking time in prayer and fasting and meditation, and I would also include adoration, to fall in love with your inner teacher, or I believe in that work it is called the Holy Guardian Angel, and just have a real love affair going on with the divine and connecting with that inner presence by falling in love with it, desiring only communion with this inner teacher. So it's a real love affair, and it takes a long time to follow that method. And I am still reading it. I do not pretend to fully understand it at this point, but it is a very beautiful ritual that the writer recommends. In Wicca and paganism, we hear about connecting with your higher self. And also in Wicca and paganism, we hear talk of your spirit guide. And again, if you want to do spiritual magic, deep spiritual acts of power, connecting with the higher self is essential. This is your inner guide. And again, I may be using that term improperly for some, but, you know, I think the two are very well connected, that you really have to connect with that higher self, that inner guide, in order to do any works that are truly great, mystical, and beneficial, both to the seeker and to the world around the seeker. And then finally, I don't think I covered mystical Christianity. Mystical Christianity, this is not to be confused with traditional mainstream fundamentalist Christianity. Mystical Christianity takes the seeker far deeper than just the literal meaning of biblical texts and religious laws. We don't have, at least not for everything, a literal understanding. What we do is we try to connect deeply and understand the text more in a mystical, metaphorical, allegorical way. For example, when Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, teaches his followers that if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, for you will not enter the realm of heaven, you know, with that attached to you. And some folks that have a literal understanding of the text, they have committed self-mutilation, you know, cutting off their hands, gouging out their eyes. And I, from a mystical point of view, do not believe for one minute that that is what Jesus was teaching his first followers. He was teaching in allegorical form. He was teaching as if, you know, if something causes you to sin, remove yourself from that thing. As if, and this can be very painful, as if, you know, cutting off your right hand. No matter how painful it is, remove yourself from it. Now, he's not saying literally cut off your right hand. He is saying distance yourself from those things that cause you to sin and give yourself fully to this way of understanding, this way of spiritual growth. And, you know, literalists, folks in the mainstream parts of Christianity would say, okay, we have to believe the Bible literally. And, you know, there's a great many things in the Bible that, if taken literally, would not only lead to self-destructive behaviors, it would tear our entire society apart, probably leading to World War III. You know, the Bible is a wonderful tool, but placed in the wrong hands, it can become a weapon of mass destruction. And mystical Christians, we are not about that. We are about spiritual growth and understanding the teachings on a far deeper level than just the outer literal meaning of the text. But in mystical Christianity, connecting with the inner teacher, some people speak of Christ consciousness. You know, the Spirit of Christ, which is indwelling. Again, it is that thing that can be found inside the seeker, and it is also something that is outside the seeker at the same time, both within us and outside of us. And if you're wanting to connect with your inner teacher from a Christian point of view, this school of mystical Christianity can be a great path to follow. Connect with Christ consciousness. And then finally, in AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, I've heard many an old-timer in various AA groups talk about connecting with your higher power. In some of the steps, it's called, you know, your conscious contact with God, God as you understand God. And because God can be a loaded term for a great many people, many groups will avoid using the word God. They will choose to use the word higher power, because AA is not a religious group. It is a spiritual group, you know, kind of like Temple of the Infinite Universe. You know, we're definitely spiritual, but we are not affiliated with any one school of religion, although I've got a few of my own personal favorites. But we try to follow the spiritual path of loving deity in all forms, rather than the religious path of just following one narrow sectarian viewpoint. You know, we love wisdom in all traditions and in all of his, her manifestations. So, you can take your pick. We have a few different terminologies that we can use for understanding, you know, your own inner teacher. Spirit guide, higher power, higher self, Christ consciousness. Left out the Buddha nature, very similar to Christ consciousness. You know, depending on your religious point of view, feel free to use any of those terms or none. You can even call it George. But, you know, if you come from a religious background where you have a name, your own sectarian name for the inner teacher, feel free to use that too, because, you know, one reality, but many, many, many different ways of seeing that reality and expressing that reality. When we try to speak of the infinite divine nature and of spiritual things in general, spirituality is infinite. Our language, our understanding, our thoughts tend to be finite. So our thoughts, our words, our language, they do a grave injustice to an understanding of infinite spirituality. But how else are we going to communicate? You know, words, actions, that helps, those help. Showing through action what you would otherwise seek to teach orally. But, a poetry can be used. Art can be used very beautifully. Things that connect us to the world of the infinite, even though they involve a medium or a media, which is finite in nature. We need something that helps us break through the finite barriers to break into an understanding of the infinite. I'm going to take a break and play a musical clip, and then after the break, we will discuss three ways in which we can connect with your inner teacher, higher power, or George, whatever you want to call it. This is Here and Now by Artemis. that's a rather abrupt ending. Well, this is Fred or Ralph back again. And in this segment now, I'm going to talk about three ways in which one can connect with their inner teacher. And the first way, and actually there are more than three ways. I've just narrowed this down to three ways because, you know, it's only about a 90-minute program. But the first way I have that I'd like to present is connecting out of love. And this is something that is definitely contained in the writings of the sacred magic of Abraham Melin the Mage. The Gospel according to Matthew, I believe, speaks of love in connecting with your higher power, your inner teacher. And Reverend Don Lewis, author of the Witch School series of books, Witch School, First Degree, Second Degree, and Third Degree, has a section in his writings on connecting with your higher self. And that is done out of love. And what we do in trying to connect with our inner teacher out of love is that we fall in love with the world of spirit. And this is going to depend, too, on your own spiritual and religious understanding. But if you have something you can focus on to represent your inner teacher, do your best to show it devotion, to show it honor. I know some people have set up a little mirror on their prayer table and kind of look at the mirror and not really paying devotion to your own reflection in the mirror, but look at that reflection and try to see beyond the mirror. Understand that you're not falling in love with yourself in the narcissistic sense, but you are falling in love, showing devotion to your higher self. And ways in which one might demonstrate this would be to set up a prayer table and having a little mirror on it, or, you know, anything else that you would like to represent your higher self or inner teacher, and make an offering. You know, offer it a glass of water, a pure glass of water, and keep it on the prayer table and make a little prayer of offering to your higher self. And then after a few minutes, drink that pure water as your way of giving that gift of water out of love to your higher self. And the important thing that we need to keep in mind when trying to connect with your inner teacher through love is that we have to maintain a relationship. And it's got to be more than just a quid pro quo type of relationship. This is going to be a relationship of love, not a business deal. And this is where a lot of people kind of lose sight. You know, we want to do spiritual things. We want to make spiritual connections. Many times, not just out of pure love, but because we want something in return. You know, we have the Santa Claus understanding of the world of spirit. You know, I'm going to give you my love and my devotion, and then I want wisdom and patience gift wrapped under my tree by this time tomorrow, okay? And, you know, make it snappy. I'm in a hurry here. You know, one plumber I used to work for about 15 years ago once told me about a prayer that he loved. It's, God, give me patience and give it to me now. But when we deal with the world of spirit, you know, it's because we want something. A crisis has come about. You know, somebody's sick. We want them to be healed. I've had a bad back that's been killing me for the last 4 days. And I connected with one of my spiritual patrons asking that this back pain be relieved. And, oh, it's feeling so much better today. I could just about jump for joy and play a round of golf, which is a miracle because I don't know anything about golf. But, but you know, when we connect with the world of spirit, a lot of times it's because, you know, we want something. We desire something. And, you know, that's okay to a certain point because we're creatures. We're creatures wrapped up in a human body. We have an animal nature. We need food. We need water. We need rest. When we're sick, we need medication. You know, we do have needs, and we should feel free to present our needs to the world of spirit and expect that our requests are going to be heard and that they are going to be answered in a proper way. But at the same time, we need to focus on love. And we need to move beyond that mindset of, I am doing this so that my blood pressure will be reduced. Or I am going to do this so I can have great spiritual powers. You know, I want to become a great mind reader. I want to be a great psychic. You know, I want to be able to alter the course of the weather with just my own inner spiritual strength and powers. I want to be a prophet, and I want to be a great miracle worker. You know, and all that stuff, it doesn't come out of love. It comes out of desire. And we're wanting something that we do not have, or at least something that we think we do not have. And when we focus on the things that we think we don't have, many times we lose sight of the good things that we do have. And so we need to practice love. We need to practice gratitude. We need to be able to just connect with the world of spirit and say, hey, here I am. Let's hang out for a bit. You want to go see a movie? It's like, you know, if you wanted to connect with a new person that just moved into your neighborhood, you know, you don't go down, knock on their door, and as they answer the door, the first thing that comes out of your mouth is, hey, I'm Ralph, can I borrow your car? You know, you don't come right on out and say, hey, give me. You make your introductions. You get to know the person. You talk with them. You spend time with them. You connect or try to connect out of a bond of love, a love that says, you know, who are you? Tell me about yourself. What can I do for you? And it's similar with our spiritual relationships when we're trying to connect out of love. We have to be able to meet this spiritual force, whatever we call it. I'm just going to call it, you know, your inner teacher. But we need to meet it with love, with humility, with respect. And that's where this quote from the Gospel of Matthew that I read at the beginning of this broadcast comes in, that last part of it. The greatest among you will be your servant. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. And that is the strength of approaching the world of spirit out of love with a sense of humility and just spending time. In the Hindu tradition, I was reading the Bhagavad Gita just a few weeks ago, the Bhagavad Gita as it is, that translation. And in the notes it said that one of the greatest ways that you can connect with God as you understand God or the divine, as they call him Krishna, is to be a devotee, a lover of the divine, or a deep, close, personal friend of the divine. And, you know, that writer from that translation in the comments was saying that one of the greatest ways of connecting with the divine is out of pure devotional love. And again, that's the way of connecting that says, hey, what can I do for you? Let's hang out. Let me do something for you. I know you are the infinite source of all being, and that lowly me cannot serve you in any way. But still, I have a desire to serve you. And of course, I think one of the best ways you can serve the divine is by serving the needs of others and connecting with others, whether they be next-door neighbors, animals in nature, stray animals that you find along the way. You know, show that love of God or Goddess or your higher power or your inner teacher by doing good things to the folks in the material world that come your way. So yeah, connect out of love and not out of a egoistic desire to get more and more and more. A lot of people who are on the spiritual path, we get on the spiritual path because we want to improve ourselves. And sometimes, in the beginning at least, that means that, you know, we want certain gifts and we want certain things. We want to be able to stand out in a crowd, but we don't usually get those things until we learn how to love. St. Francis of Assisi is one stellar example of connecting with your inner teacher out of love, because when he first connected and gave himself over to the worship of the divine nature as he understood the divine nature, the people in his village thought he was a lunatic. He did not gain anything from his devotion. Instead, he lost everything, and he was happy to lose it. He was driven from his village, he voluntarily left his village without even the clothes on his back and just lived out the rest of his life as a beggar. But the funny thing about the story of St. Francis is that after he had been away from his village for a while, and people began to visit him to see how he was doing and what he was up to, they were so impressed by his simple love and devotion for the God of his understanding, which showed forth not just in his spiritual practices, but also in his humanitarian practices of giving what little he had to the poor and practicing gifts of healing. People were so taken with his pure love that all the respect that he lost when he was driven from his village, he gained back. But he was focused in the beginning on gaining nothing except loving the divine as best he knew how. And that's the way of love. We give, and we give. And if we give properly and with the right spirit and an open heart, we do gain back. We may lose, but what we lose is restored to us tenfold. So connecting out of love, don't put a price tag on it. Don't count the costs. Just love as best you can. Focus on that love and let that love grow stronger. Now, there's another way we can connect with the divine, and I have seen this in churches, and I've also seen it in AA, and I'm sure that other folks from other religious walks can relate to this story from, you know, synagogues or temples or mosques, but folks that come in desperate. You know, they are going through a major crisis. Spirituality in the past was not something that they really paid much attention to, but then all of a sudden, a major health crisis hits, a major financial crisis hits, they're about to lose a loved one, tragedy is hovering over their head, and in desperation, they don't know where else to turn, so they turn to the divine. And people can turn to their inner teacher in an act of desperation. And here again, you know, this is, it seems like the opposite of love, but this desperation, it's a very, very strong emotion, a very strong desire. And it can lead to love. A lot of times, sometimes it doesn't, sometimes it does. But it can lead to love. When folks come into like an AA meeting and they are faced with losing their wife, losing their family, filing for bankruptcy, losing their house, you know, they have screwed up, oh, 10 ways to Sunday, and they don't know how to get out of the negative situation. And so they'll come to an AA meeting and just say, look, I need help. And the old timers will take them aside and say, well, you need to connect with your higher power. And yeah, you need to follow the steps and get with the program and things will work out. Your higher power will not abandon you. And part of the steps which folks are driven to out of desperation include getting right with the God or Goddess or the divine as you understand the divine. You admit, basically, I'm paraphrasing this, but basically you admit that you've screwed up and that you are powerless to work your way out of your situation without some sort of guidance from above. You have faith. Come to believe, as they say in the steps, that a power greater than yourself can restore you to a sense of sanity and sane rational behavior. And then the seeker is asked to make a decision to turn his or her will over to the care of the divine as they understand the divine. And that is one way in which AA takes that sense of desperation, which can lead even an atheist to a church door, or if not the church door, maybe the church basement to an AA group, and just plead and ask for help in any way it might be delivered to them. And what we do, what can be done, when we come across folks like that, we understand that desperation, we feel genuine compassion, and then we try to redirect that desperation. It may be desperation that brings them to the door, but after it's all said and done, we want to transform that desperation into love. And so actually connecting out of desperation is one step to connecting out of love, because going back to the steps of AA, steps 1, 2, and 3, that's getting right with God. The rest of the steps, basically, you know, after you've corrected, you know, learn to approach the divine as you understand the divine, the rest is correcting your mistakes, being open to admitting that you've screwed up, making amends, saying I'm sorry to those that you have hurt, and trying to make up for those hurts, trying to, you know, make amends for your past misbehavior. And then after you've gotten right with God, your fellow human being, your friends and neighbors, you continue then to focus on keeping a strong connection with the divine as you understand the divine. And of course, once you connect with your divine teacher, your inner teacher, in that way, whether it be out of love or out of desperation, you enter a whole new world. Before we connect with our inner teacher, we are lost. We are looking outside of ourself for the things that matter. And it seems like a good idea, and this is how a lot of us begin our journey. And there's nothing wrong with it, as long as it leads us back to the inside. But we start looking on the outside. We read books. We go to seminars. We fall in line with spiritual teachers, listen to what they have to say, and learn from our religious traditions or spiritual traditions. And that's where we start our search. But as we search outside of ourselves, along the way we begin to realize, we begin to see signposts that start pointing us back within. And we begin to realize that not only do we need teachers who are outside of us, at least in the beginning, but we need a teacher that is inside of us. And that once we've found that inner teacher, we have found the best teacher that we will ever have, a teacher who will never leave us, a teacher who will be with us every step of the way through this earthly life. I'm going to pause and take another break, play a musical clip, Listen by Artemis. Okay, so I've discussed two ways that we can connect with our inner teacher. One, we connect out of love, pure devotion. Two, we connect out of desperation, and that's the beginning of the journey. And then somewhere along the journey, we trust that other people are going to help us turn that desperation into hope, and then that hope into love, and that love into pure devotion, and that way circle us back around to connecting with our inner teacher out of love. Starts with despair and desperation and ends in love and gratitude. A third way, and this is going to sound kind of silly, but there's an old saying that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And these, you know, I'm thinking of examples here where folks don't really show exceptional love towards the divine. I mean, they seem like average folk. They're going through their life. They're good people. They don't really go through a midlife crisis or a period of deep despair or desperation. But something clicks within them. And suddenly they find themselves ready, and all of a sudden they connect with their inner teacher. And I have heard stories about a guy, you know, folks that are just going through their day-to-day job. You know, one guy was helping to put a roof on top of a house, and just all of a sudden he threw up his hands for no apparent reason and began babbling in tongues. And he didn't know what came over him. The people around him didn't know what had come over him. But there was just something. He connected all of a sudden with a force greater than himself. And something which I think can properly be called an inner teacher. And there's a story of Padre Pio, who is now Saint Pio. I still think of him as Padre Pio, but he was an exceptional spiritual figure from the Catholic Church. He was a simple monk who lived a life of simple devotion, simple purity, and he was, I would say, either an average monk or you might even call him a below-average monk. But one day he was just meditating on the cross, not doing anything outstanding or exceptional, and all of a sudden he received a deep inner vision of what the power that he referred to as Christ had in store for him. He received the stigmata, the wounds of Christ in his hands, and he just, at first he did not want the gift. You know, it wasn't a case where, you know, he went to the divine saying, I want this, I want this, I want this. And then finally, the divine grudgingly gives it to him. This was a case where he didn't want anything. And he certainly did not want the wounds of Christ, the stigmata. He prayed, take this away from me. And his inner teacher took it away from him. But then later, he was again deep in meditation upon the cross, and the inner teacher approached him again and said, this is what I have planned for you. Will you accept? And he said, okay. And he became an exceptional spiritual man. He received the gift of stigmata. He received the gift of bilocation, received the gift of wisdom. People would come to him for counseling, and he would tell them the deepest secrets of their life, and then he would tell them, okay, I know what you've done. I know where you've fallen short. Confess your sins. Focus on becoming a better human being. And some people he would have an inner, deep inner knowledge of. He wouldn't ask them, you know, what have you done to sin? He would tell them, these are your sins. And then he said, okay, all you have to do now is face them for what they are, rise above them, put that behind you, and love God. And he was a monk who would take 3 hours to celebrate the Mass, the Catholic Mass in. You know, if you've ever been to a Catholic church, you know that high Mass, you know, might take an hour or two. A standard Mass, you know, 30 minutes, 20 minutes. On Super Bowl Sunday, a good priest who's a football fan can go through the Mass in 15 minutes. And hallelujah, you're out the door, and it's time for the Super Bowl party to begin. But Padre Pio would focus on doing this all out of love, out of devotion, take 3 or 4 hours to do it in. And he was transformed from being a less than average monk to being a great saint recognized by the Roman Catholic Church. And it wasn't something he asked for. He did not connect, at least I do not believe he connected, out of a deep love for God. He had probably, I would say, an average love of the divine. He did not connect out of desperation. He didn't really feel desperation until he received, you know, his inner teacher. His inner teacher worked with him in some pretty rough ways. But it was just a case where he was ready to give himself over to the counsel of his inner teacher, and the time was right, and everything just lined up, and everything worked out. The student was ready, and the teacher appeared. So obviously, I prefer the way of connecting with your inner teacher out of love. And there are many different ways in which that love can be expressed, depending on your religious tradition. If you find yourself in times of desperation, you can connect out of despair. But, you know, don't stay stuck there. Allow yourself room for hope, for gratitude, and then after gratitude, sincere love. Now, to finish up the presentation, I'm going to talk about conflict. And now, here we go. What if you're listening to your inner teacher, and your inner teacher is teaching you things that you think are right, that you think are good for you, but then you find yourself involved in a group where the group also has an inner teacher? You see, we have inner teachers that can work with us on an individual level, but it is also true that an inner teacher can be working with a group on a corporate level. And sometimes what is good for the group may not necessarily be good or right for certain individuals within that group. And the reverse is also true. What is good for a certain individual may not necessarily be good for other people within a group that that individual belongs to. And this can, you know, encourage conflict, or conflict can arise out of situations like that. I'm going to take an example of, you know, out of an AA group where the group is thinking about having a pig roast. And, you know, a lot of guys, especially in redneck areas where I live, they go to pig roasts on the weekends, and it's a great place to go to drink beer and dig a pit, play with fire, have fun, roast a pig, and then drink some more beer and have a big picnic and drink some more beer, pass out, and wake up in time to go to work on Monday. And a lot of AA groups think, well, that is a good recruitment tool or attraction tool sometimes, or just a good way to have fun. They get together and they have a pig roast, and they have the pig, they have the fire, they dig the pit, but they don't have the beer. Instead, they bring in pots and pots of coffee, and they drink coffee, stand around, talk, roast a pig, and have fun. Now, sometimes, you know, they could be trying to figure out, okay, what do we do this weekend? And they can have what they call a group consciousness meeting, in which they try to figure out, they give the problem over or the decision over to the higher power or inner teacher, and they ask the question, you know, should we have a pig roast? And then they get together, compare notes, and whatever the majority feels their higher power is saying, that's what the group consciousness tends to say. And they call that the group consciousness vote. And so what happens when a guy who is newly recovering from alcoholism, who has gone to many a pig roast drunk, and does not feel right about going to a pig roast because it reminds him of drinking? His inner teacher will probably be telling him, no, that's not good for you. Don't do that. Stay away from anything that might make you feel like going out for a drink. You know, a guy that's newly recovering from alcoholism might be going to a pig roast, and something will snap inside of his psyche, and he'll think, well, I need to go out and get a case of beer and go back home and drink it. And so for him, the idea of going to a pig roast and having a pig roast, his higher power, his inner teacher, might be screaming at him, no, don't do that. Don't go there. You're not ready yet. But now the rest of the group, you know, guys that have several years of sobriety under their belts, you know, for them, the idea of having a pig roast would be great. You know, bring the wife, bring the kids, bring the grandchildren, bring in some people that might have a problem with alcoholism and give us a chance to chit-chat. You know, it's a great opportunity to talk about the program when you're standing around a bonfire drinking hot coffee instead of a cold beer. And people ask, well, what are you doing that for? And it's a good opportunity to share the program with some folks who might desperately need the program. And so for the other people in the group, the idea of a pig roast, their inner teacher might be screaming, yeah, go for it, great. You know, we got the pig, you got the spot. Now, if a guy's a vegan or a guy is having trouble, you know, newly recovering from alcoholism, either of those reasons, he might think it's a bad idea. And his inner teacher might be screaming, no, that's not right for you, don't do it. So now, what do we do with this conflict? Which inner teacher do we listen to? The individual inner teacher that says, no, don't do it? Or the corporate inner teacher who has the best interest of the whole group in mind, who is saying, go for it? And this can arise to conflict, because if you got a guy who is, or a woman, who is motivated by ego, who wants to be the great prophet of the hour, it might want to stand up on the tabletop and just scream, no, thus saith the Lord, my inner teacher says, no, don't do this. And, of course, that's not right either, because that display would be motivated not out of love, not out of a sincere respect for one's inner teacher, but out of a desire to grandstand, a desire to stroke one's ego, a desire to stand out from the group simply because one wants to stand out. And, of course, I think that in a situation like this, and these situations can be many and varied, when the individual higher power, higher inner teacher, when the guidance given by the individual's inner teacher conflicts, or at least appears to conflict, with the inner teacher of the group, then I think what we need to do is respect the group's inner teacher, respect whatever wisdom is to be found there, but also respect the individual's need to perhaps be excused from that activity. You know, what's good for the many may not necessarily be good for the few. And what's good for the few may not necessarily be good for the many. So when we're listening to our inner teacher, we also need to remember to use inner wisdom. And if we're lacking for that wisdom, request that wisdom from our inner teacher. And when conflict arises because of differing opinions, you know, if we get into a group, everybody is paying attention to their inner teacher, spirit guides, and sometimes one or two or three seem to be opposed to one another, having different opinions and different viewpoints, you know, we need to respect those differences, but then try to understand them using the best wisdom we have at our disposal in a way that builds up the group rather than tears the group apart, and in a way that shows love for oneself and for the group. So when we listen to our inner teacher, we should listen from the point of view of wanting to grow spiritually and wanting to grow in relationship with others on a deeper level. And we also need to recognize that just as individuals have inner teachers, which may give differing opinions and different instructions, so too does an organization have an inner teacher, an inner guide. And that organization needs to pay attention to that inner guide. And sometimes the corporate inner teacher might not necessarily always agree with the individual inner teacher. But when those conflicts arise, we need to approach them creatively and lovingly and give the individual the space that he or she needs to perhaps part with the group on certain activities, but not hold the group bound by the point of view of the individual. Try to balance and harmonize those two teachings as much as we can. I'm going to play one more song and then we're going to wrap it up. This is Love of the Game by Artemis.
All the times wept we weep, and thought we learned how to deceive. But we only fool ourselves, we're not as lost as we seem. It's just a walk in the woods to reach the other side, where mountains shine like diamonds, and you can see for miles and miles.
Again, I'm going to wrap this up. What are some of the benefits of connecting with your inner teacher? Well, one benefit that seems quite obvious is that you don't really have to spend a great deal of time on of money on books and seminars. Although, books and seminars are good and they will get you started on the path. But you can learn that the path will lead you away from those things, too. And I'm reminded of one of the comments that Gandhi made. He was talking to spiritual leaders and political leaders who were very smart, very literate, very well book educated, and they were wanting to know, what books that Gandhi had read. And probably what books Gandhi had written at that stage of the game, too. And he had to smile and admit that he hadn't read that many books outside of, the books that he read to pass his law degree. And said, I don't think it's really the number of books that you've read that counts. It's the quality of the books that you've read that counts. And that got him out of that little scrape. But, Gandhi was kind of a guy, he was a smart man, he was well-educated, he was a lawyer turned spiritual leader for India, but he learned to listen to his inner guide, his inner teacher, that inner voice that told him, hey, common sense might tell you that this is impossible, but your inner teacher is telling you to go try it anyway, and do it, and succeed. And he was an unconventional type of a character. I was talking with my wife, Heidi, last night, kind of exploring, different service opportunities that, we might do through our organization, Temple of the Infinite Universe Incorporated. And we were talking about teaching tarot. We're pretty big on reading tarot. We use tarot in a lot of our spiritual counseling work that we do. And Heidi was saying, well, why don't we teach it? And I thought, well, hey, that's great. And I thought, that's something that we're going to have to put some time and thought into because, we have to prepare written materials. Students are going to want a book or something, or at least a page on the internet that has, the definitions, interpretations of tarot cards on the website. And it's going to take time to put all these extra materials together. And while I was talking and telling her, okay, that's a great idea, and this is what we have to do in order to realize that idea, she was looking at me like I'd lost it. inner spirit guide. Now, I still, even after that, I didn't know where she was going with the comments. But then she explained she was not going to teach people out of a book or out of a, you know, a set of standard general interpretations. Her idea of teaching a class would be to teach the student first how to connect with their inner teacher, listen to their spirit guide, and then allow the spirit guide to give them the interpretation of the cards that they needed during the reading. Now, obviously, this is a class that is not for the average student. This is something that she is going to be presenting to advanced students, folks who are familiar with the idea of a spirit guide or inner teacher, and folks who are comfortable connecting with that inner teacher. And once she explained that to me, I thought, now that is brilliant. You don't need to write a new book. You don't need to direct the student to anything except, you know, the right deck of tarot cards to use, so you're both looking at the same images and both working out of the same hymnal and the same tarot deck. But what you do then is 3 hours to get with the student, get them comfortable with listening to their own inner guide, get them comfortable with learning the tarot through their inner guide, their spirit guide, their inner teacher, and then after they have gained the comfort in that mastery in listening to their own inner teacher in regards to interpretation of the tarot, once they do that, they're good to go. They're ready to fly. And instead of having a course that is, I don't know, 10, 20, 70 hours on talking about this interpretation and that interpretation and somebody else's interpretation and then my interpretation, now you're teaching the student to listen to their own inner voice, their own inner teacher, and to let that interpretation, the security, the comfort, courage, to just listen to that inner guide. And so that's one definite strength there. You don't need to be worried about reading it out of a book. Books are a good place to start. You know, books, teachers, seminars. You know, the saying of Jesus that I started this broadcast out with says, call no one on earth your teacher, for you have one teacher, even Christ. But you know what? We do need our earthly teachers in the beginning. They show us the way. They get us started. They put us on the path. But then there comes a time when the teacher has to say, goodbye. I'm out of here. I've worked myself out of a job. Now you go to your inner teacher. And then you get to that point that Jesus was talking about. So outer teachers do us a service. They lead us for part of the way. But then we have to let go, detach with love, find our inner teacher, and let our inner teacher take us the rest of the way. Saying concerning outer teachers and external teachers, conventional teachers, that a good teacher is a man or a woman who is working their butt off to work themselves out of a job. You know, a good teacher does not create dependency. You know, it's a student dependency upon the teacher. First job, well, actually the last job of a good teacher is to relieve the student of the need of the teacher and leave them in the hands of their inner guide, their inner teacher. Accessible worldwide on the internet. To learn more about us, or, you know, visit our website at www.hermetictemple.com. To contribute financially to the running and future growth of our temple, and we do need financial support. This radio show costs us. We're paying this out of pocket.
And we are needing help to further the expansion of Temple of the Infinite Universe. And if you want to help out financially, you can visit our GoFundMe page at www.gofundme.com/temple building. And if you would like to connect with me on Facebook, you can follow me, Fred or Ralph, at www.facebook.com/Ralph Lindy. And all this information is in the program description on the Blog Talk Radio site. I'm going to go ahead and wrap this program up. Our next broadcast will be this Sunday at 6 p.m. So from the broadcast today, I've had a little bit of experience in AA, a little bit of experience with recovery from alcoholism. And next Sunday, I'm going to try to get a few old alcoholics with me on the air, and we're going to be giving our views on recovery. You know, alcoholism is a disease. It is not a moral deficit or a moral failing. It is a disease which can be diagnosed, a disease which can be treated once it is faced for what it is. And next Sunday at 6 p.m., we'll be discussing alcoholism as a disease and ways in which that disease can be faced and a person can find their way into recovery. So until then, this is Fred or Ralph wishing you a blessed night of discovery. And I'm going to depart by playing You've Got to Laugh by Celtic Reggae Revolution. Blessings be upon you.
Thank you.